This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
Live on tape from Hollywood, The Larry Sanders Show. Tonight, join Larry and his guests, John Stamos, Helen Reddy and the National Spelling Bee Champion, and me, hey now, Hank Kingsley. And now, because he's already been paid, so we might as well use him, Larry Sanders!
The Larry Sanders Show is a parody of late-night talk shows. It's often funnier than the real thing. My guest is the show's star and co-writer, Gary Shandling. Shandling parodies talk show hosts so well because he used to be the real thing. He used to be Johnny Carson's regular substitute host. But Shandling gave up The Tonight Show to concentrate on his first comedy series, It's Gary Shandling Show, which premiered in 1986. The Larry Sanders Show recently ended its first season. Beginning Monday, HBO will rebroadcast the series over 10 consecutive weekday nights. Gary Shandling was supposed to join us today from the NPR Bureau in Los Angeles. But shortly before the interview was about to begin, Gary's publicist called to say Gary had car trouble and couldn't get to the studio. So we recorded the interview from his home phone. Okay, so you can imagine what went through my mind when I found out that your car wouldn't start. In your talk show experiences, have you ever had that happen where someone doesn't show up and they say their car isn't working?
No, it is the flimsiest excuse, isn't it? It would be better to say my dog ate the car, I mean, or something. It sounds like one of those horrible high school excuses.
When you were guest hosting The Tonight Show, did guests ever like not show up for one reason or another? Did you have to do anything to improvise?
I will tell you once that, I never had that, although we are going to do an episode about that. In fact, I think we did an episode where we sort of had that one moment happen where they couldn't get Janet Jackson and she canceled at the last minute, and then T-Bone Burnett came in at the very last second and did it. And we've touched on that kind of stuff where someone drops out, and usually... It's very interesting. Usually, the Tonight Show or the Letterman Show has a list of about 10 people that they can always just call who live within a radius of 10 miles of the studio that will come on in case someone doesn't show up. And so I'm trying to think if I know who it is at the Tonight Show. They'll pick up the phone, for instance, and call Dick Cavett or something and say, you know, you want to come on, and there are always some people who are willing at the last second to come on.
So what kind of car do you drive that's giving you this trouble?
The worst story than that, what it is exactly, is my girlfriend bought a Range Rover. And I said to her, well, you know, a Range Rover in California, you know, it's a four-wheel drive vehicle, you know, and, you know, I guess she figures, you know, in case it starts raining, she can't get to that audition in time or something, you know. So it's a four-wheel drive. For me, it's a slightly affected car, although they're very nice cars. And it's hilarious because she bought it yesterday and it's brand new, and then she was going to drop me off at the studio and the car wouldn't start. So... not only have I missed this opportunity to go directly to the studio, but simultaneously she's been on the phone screaming at the car dealer saying, Gary Shandling missed an interview, which, of course, meant far less to them than she'd hoped.
So listen, this talk show, you've done the talk show for real, you know, guest hosting on The Tonight Show, and now you're doing a parody of it. What's the difference, do you think, between Larry Sanders as a late-night host and Gary Shandling?
Well, you know, it's a good question. I actually think that on the talk show part itself, on the Larry Sanders Show talk show part that we see live on the air, that is basically me hosting a talk show. That is how I would host a talk show. Larry is very different than Gary as a person, and what we see backstage is not exactly me. Larry is much more driven career-wise, much more competitive career-wise, much more concerned about ratings than I am, much angrier than I am. On the air, he is very similar to what I would be like hosting a show. I find myself, since it's a satire of talk shows, doing a few Johnny moves that I wouldn't probably do if it was really me, and doing a few kind of Letterman moves that I wouldn't do.
On some of the episodes, there's a lot of tension between what's happening off camera and what's happening on camera. I mean, there's one in which you're fighting with your wife, you know, kind of backstage, and then you have to keep running back on the air and being really affable. Has anything like that ever happened to you in yours in the time that you really hosted?
That particular thing has never happened. I have been in a relationship where right before I went on stage, and this is what I took the moment from, it was many years ago, and I was getting ready to go on stage at the Comedy Store, and my girlfriend at the time said, you know, I really want to discuss our relationship. And I said, well, okay, but I'm on in 2 minutes. Well, she said, there's never a good time to talk to you, is there? And we were really having an argument right before I went on stage. And then, actually, that kind of thing never stopped. I was hit by a car about 6 months after that, and I was in the hospital with all these tubes connected to me. And she came to the hospital, and I was on the critical list, and she said, I really want to talk to you about our relationship. And I was, like, on Demerol at the time. And I said, well, you know, I don't think this is the right time. But anyway, it sounds like I probably was very shut down and not communicative, but I was, and she just picked the wrong time. So we took that element and made a show out of it.
Boy, I hope she wasn't thinking that you would do anything to get out of talking about the relationship. You'd do stand-up, you'd get into a car accident, anything to avoid that discussion.
I never thought of it that way. But I guess when I joined the astronaut program,
my guest is Gary Shandling, and his series, The Larry Sanders Show, which satirizes talk shows, is going to be on 10 consecutive weeknights in a row on HBO starting on Monday. When were you old enough to stay up late enough to watch The Tonight Show?
Well, you know, I am one of those kids who became aware of comedians at a very early age. It was very odd that at the age of 10, I had memorized the Carl Reiner, Mel Brooks, 2,000-year-old man routine, and I was listening to that album, and I used to watch Don Rickles on TV, and, I remember staying up late and watching Jack Parr when I shouldn't have been, and Steve Allen when I shouldn't have been. So starting very early, I was very tuned into the world that I'm in now.
But you ended up in college studying engineering and marketing.
Yes, I was an electrical engineering major for 3 years.
So why did someone who loved comedy so much go into engineering?
Well, you know, I was in Tucson, Arizona. That's where I grew up. And you don't... And my parents are not in the arts, and so it wasn't like when I was 15 or 16... anybody encouraged me to go and be a comedian or to be in show business. And I had no real inputs in that direction. There were no clubs. I remember driving to Phoenix when I was 17 or 18 to see George Carlin work in a small club. That was the first time I'd ever been in a small kind of club before, nightclub. My parents used to take me to Las Vegas where I remember Don Adams was working in Las Vegas.
Get Smart
was
so
popular. And I remember Don Adams telling old jokes. I was like 12 years old, and I went, my God, I thought to myself, he's doing old jokes. How can someone do an act with jokes that are old jokes? I remember thinking that when I was 12 years old, and I was aghast. I assumed that everybody wrote their jokes. I didn't know you could go to a joke book, and that's what a lot of those guys used to do. So I was really tuned into that. And then my second or third year in the engineering department, I got very frustrated, and I sat down with myself and had a soul-searching conversation with myself and said, you know, what I'd really like to do is see if I can write comedy. And I just made a decision then when I was 19 or 20, well, you know, I was pretty old to move to L.A. after I graduated. I switched my majors and said, I'll see what happens. And I moved to L.A. stone cold, didn't know anybody, didn't know how to go about it, really started from scratch.
So what's the first move that you made once you got there?
Well, I started hanging out at the Comedy Store, watching comedians. The Comedy Store had just opened. It was 1972. And I just watched and watched, and I had a job as an advertising copywriter at the time. And watched and watched, and then I took a writing class at UC, a comedy writing class at UCLA, and I met a guy whose father was a comedy writer, and we started talking, and we ended up writing a script together that he gave to his dad, and his dad said, God, this is really good, and he gave it to an agent, and I just kept meeting people here and there, and finally I wrote a script for Sanford and Son that I got to the producers, and they loved it, and they hired me, and they said, you should write a couple scripts for us this season. I was 23.
So the first
24, I think.
So the first TV show you worked on was Sanford and Son.
Yes.
It must have been strange to be a white guy from Tucson writing a black sitcom.
You know, they were all white writers, and I just did a little luncheon with Keenan Ivory Wayans, who of course created In Living Color. We were sitting next to each other, and he didn't know that I had written for Sanford and Son, and he couldn't stop laughing. He literally couldn't stop laughing for 5 minutes when I said, you know, I started on Sanford and Son, and just looked right at him. And he said, my God, you know, things have really changed, because it was primarily white writers that wrote that show. And, of course, now everybody is aware that we should be looking, meaning the industry, looking for new minority writers, and there are so many talented guys out there that should have been writing that.
So, did you write for Three's Company, too?
You know, I had a script assignment for Three's Company, and that's actually when I decided, that was right in the time when I was deciding, I just can't do this.
Well, talk about formulas.
It was when, in fact, really a voice deep down inside of me said, what are you doing? And it was very much like the engineering school when I just said, what are you doing? It was the same kind of feeling. And it was the same formulas over and over again. And I just said, I can't do this. And that's when I stopped and started to do stand-up.
Now, I think that the auto accident that you referred to earlier also had something to do with you deciding to change directions.
Well, there was a chain of events that happened. I was, you know, it was right around the time of... I'd finished my Welcome Back, Kotter, and I was doing a script for Three's Company, and I also had a pilot I was writing, and I was unhappy creatively, and then I got hit by a car, which we don't need the details of, but I was hit by a car and really seriously hurt, and as I was laying in the hospital, I really did realize, I had one of those realizations, like, you know, what do you really want to do in your life is what you should look at, and then try for that. And the only thing that I knew that I wanted to do was develop comedically. I've never had a goal other than when I was hosting The Tonight Show, which really was a goal of mine. But I never had a career goal. It was more an inside creative goal to learn to use my funniness and to discover what my level of ability was, and that's what I went after when I went on stage. It was really a self-discovery process.
So when you were lying there in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
fighting for your life, were you...
Funny? Was I funny?
Well, seriously, since you were thinking so much about comedy, were you already trying to transform this into, like, your next routine?
Yeah, I did. I wrote several routines in the hospital.
You really
but
did?
I wrote my first time on The Tonight Show, my first stand-up piece was a piece about being in the hospital and hearing that woman in the hospital paging doctors all day long going, Dr. Juergens, Dr. Mark Juergens, over that hospital intercom,
uh-huh.
Dr. McAvoy, Dr. John McAvoy. And I was in the hospital for 2 weeks, and I heard that hospital intercom 24 hours a day for 2 weeks, and I realized this woman could say anything, and no one would know the difference. She could go, Dr. Pudding, Dr. Chocolate Pudding, and someone would show up.
My guest is Gary Shandling. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Gary Shandling, and his comedy series, The Larry Sanders Show, will be shown over 10 consecutive nights on HBO beginning Monday. When you started doing stand-up, did you have a sense of who you wanted to be on stage? You know, like what aspects of your own personality you really wanted to bring out for your stage persona?
It was really a nightmare. I had no idea who I was when I started, and I was frightened to death and had no natural performing skills. I'd never performed before in my life, and to be thrown onto the stand-up stage is an experience that you cannot fathom until you're actually there, because there's no place to go, and everyone's looking at you, and you can't even see them because of the lights. And yet you have to manage to start talking and be funny on top of it. And at the beginning, I think I did. I wrote material that was very much influenced by Woody Allen, who's my favorite. And I used to do very offbeat jokes that sounded like I was reading them. And it took years to develop a style. And actually, what happened is I was involved in a relationship, and the girl left me, and I was very hurt, and I had to go up on stage, and I finally just turned to the audience and said, this girl left me. I said, what happened is she moved in with another guy, so I dumped her, because that's where I draw the line. and so that was the beginning. That was really the beginning of, you know, people of the Gary Shandling dating years in stand-up that came out, you know, because I realized, oh, I started to really spill my guts about being hurt, and people really related to it. And it just was one of those things. It was in a nightclub in Dallas. I really remember it very well.
Can you give me a sense of what you were doing before you started doing the more personal stuff?
They were awful jokes like... you know, I had a high school principal who, actually this is true, I had a high school principal who committed suicide by hanging himself in the rings in the gymnasium. And then it was the next day that my physical education coach found him hanging there in the rings, and he gave him a 9.8.
Oh, God.
And it was stuff like that. That really was not connected to, you know. Actually, that really all happened, of course, other than the 9.8, but every part of that story is true. I said I had a real stupid, I said my coach was really stupid. He had a big sundial in his front yard, and he pulled his back out trying to wind it. It was that kind of stuff that barely worked at all.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Gary Shandling, and his series, The Larry Sanders Show, is going to have a series of 10 shows played back-to-back on 10 consecutive weeknights on HBO starting this Monday. It seems to me one of the problems of becoming a celebrity is that celebrities start to take themselves really seriously and think of themselves as being just, like, terribly important.
Yeah.
And that to maintain the kind of humor that you're doing now on your shows, like, you know, the It's Gary Shandling Show and the Larry Sanders Show, you have to be a little bit detached from all of that in order to kind of see the humor of people taking themselves too seriously and to stand outside a little bit, both from celebrity land and from TV and movie land, and look into it. Do you worry about that being a bit of a problem, of ever getting too far inside?
You know, I think that's really a great perception. I think you're 100% accurate, and and that's smart. And you recognize something that a lot of performers don't recognize, and they do start to take themselves too seriously. The truth is that I don't, and in fact, often need to work on giving myself a little more self-importance, you know, because I still think of myself as the guy from Tucson. And what that allows me to do is look around at my friends, and I just cannot name them here, but I know the ones that I, and their friends and acquaintances, that often turn my stomach because they think they're great, and they think that they're important, and they have this aura of self-importance that has nothing to do with being a human being. And they become affected, and I'm able to see that clearly, and that's why I wanted to do this show, is to expose that, show how fake it is in terms of our real, you know, real life existence. I wish I could name names, but I just have friends who do movies and big movies, and my God, they have attitudes.
Yeah, one can only conclude
that... It irritates
that...
me. If I sound irritated about it, I it's something that really pushes one of my buttons. It's something that I really dislike.
Okay, so on the one hand, you could kind of... there's the risk of getting too big and really getting carried away by that. On the other hand, you also live in fear of, like, being washed up and doing infomercials for hair replacement or something?
Well, what's wrong with that? I'm doing one next week. What's the problem with that? Hi, this is Gary Shandling. Have you seen this new product? You spray it on your forehead, it makes it look like your hair comes down to your eyebrows. I'm telling you, I never looked younger. The Popeil Pocket Hair Sprayer. I think I just saw that. There's a product where you just spray the back of your head with basically, you know, a work crew comes in and spray paints the back of your head with black paint. And they say it's going to look like hair. Anyway.
So do you worry about this?
No, I mean, I worry about, yeah, you know, that I'm not growing or that I've reached my potential sometimes and sort of have to push myself to see if there's more there, you know, but I'm also, I also look sometimes for, I wish I could sort of get out of show business. I just don't know what I would do on a weekly basis. I fantasize about moving to Hawaii, you know.
Well, good luck with the series. I really enjoy it. And I'll let you get back to your car trouble.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get this car started and then, you know, probably sell it.
Thanks.
So if anybody's out there listening and wants a 92 Range Rover at a really good price, let
right.
me know.
Thanks a lot for your time. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Gary Shandling is the star of The Larry Sanders Show. It will run on 10 consecutive weeknights beginning Monday on HBO. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.